Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 13th. According to the Montrose Daily Press, the second trial for former Paonia resident Nathan Yeager has been set for July 18th. Yeager's estranged wife, Melinda Tackett Yeager, was killed in Paonia on January 7th, 2011. A jury convicted Yeager of second-degree murder in the case, and in 2013 he was sentenced to 42 years in prison. Late last year, the Colorado Court of Appeals threw out the conviction and ordered a new trial. Case law established after Yeager's conviction took precedence over the law the trial judge had relied upon when instructing the original jury not to consider Yeager's temporary insanity defense. Last Wednesday in the bond hearing for the second trial, prosecutors argued for a $750,000 bond, while Yeager's defense attorneys sought a personal recognizance bond, or, failing that, a maximum bail of $100,000. Delta District Judge Stephen Schultz sided with the prosecution and assigned Yeager a $750,000 bond. That is $500,000 more than Yeager's bond before his first trial. Yeager's second trial is expected to occur over several days between July 18th and August 11th. A pre-trial motions hearing will be held on May 16th. Students gathered in the University Center on the Western State Colorado University campus last Thursday to raise awareness of a perceived lack of diversity in the student body and the faculty. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KBUT in Crested Butte, Chad Rich has this report.
Last Thursday, about 30 students participated in a sit-in at Western State Colorado University's hub, the University Center. By the end of the sit-in, at least another 30 students had gathered to watch. They were voicing concerns about the relative silence of University President Greg Salisbury following allegations of racial discrimination with his former firm, Jackson National Life, which is currently in a civil suit filed by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The students were also there to speak up about what they call a lack of diversity and attention to diversity on campus, in both the student body, but more so in faculty. Looking at faculty biographies on Western State's website does give the impression that the overwhelming majority of the faculty is white. Delaney Adrian is a student at Western State. She says events like this sit-in help the students be heard and be taken seriously.
We were trying to accomplish that we wanted him to know that enough people care about diversity, especially within our faculty. He's making a lot of comments about how the student minorities are increasing, but you know, and he has a lot of excuses for that. Some things were brought up about like the fact that we don't have a mall or we don't have like standard simple things to do like a movie theater or bowling. So my point was specifically to that was just like if we're able to get students and minorities to come here without those things, we can with faculty as well. A lot of this was to push for just awareness that the student body does care, that there's a lack of trust between students and him. On top of that, that we care and that we want faculty to have an equal place here as well.
Jody Howard is also a student at Western. She says that by assembling, students and individuals can be strong together.
Great example of how students and people, each individual, can push past fear to work towards hope, even in the most intimidating situations. You know, students are standing, staring at their president and willing to speak out because that is what they believe in. I think it accomplishes the fact that students know that they can speak out and that there's other people that think the same way they do.
In an email response to the student body last week, Salisbury responded to both the legal charges and to the concerns of the students. Salisbury stated that he has worked to increase diversity and has shown improvements every year since joining Western State in 2014. On the legal side, in a report in the Denver Post last week, Salisbury is accused of saying the firm was moved from Atlanta to Denver because the hiring pool in Atlanta was, quote, too black, end quote. At the sit-in, Salisbury said that the allegations are false, hearsay, and he hasn't even been with the company for 5 years, and that they're just flat-out untrue. He encouraged students to come to him with ideas of how to increase diversity on campus and in faculty, and that the upcoming strategic plan at Western State will address increasing diversity even more. Western State's Multicultural Resource Center webpage states that the 2018 class at Western will be the most diverse yet, as a quarter of the students identify as non-white. We'll have more on diversity at Western State in the coming days. Chad Rich, KBUT.
The Denver Post reported that Colorado's marijuana dispensaries sold $1.3 billion worth of medicinal and recreational pot in 2016. The Colorado Department of Revenue released tax data last Thursday showing the third straight year of growth since the state legalized marijuana sales. The state of Colorado brought in close to $200 million in tax and fee revenue last year. A lawsuit has been filed challenging President Trump's executive order that would eliminate two regulations for every new one that is adopted. Eric Galatis has more.
Public interest, law, environmental, and labor groups are suing to stop the Trump administration's executive order to cut government regulations. The order, signed January 30th, requires federal agencies to eliminate two existing regulations for every new one enacted, and new regulations must have a net cost of zero in the current fiscal year without considering the value of benefits to public health and safety. According to Robert Weissman, president of the watchdog group Public Citizen, that would require agencies to violate existing law governing the regulatory process, as well as the Administrative Procedure Act.
The Administrative Procedure Act says they are not permitted to engage in decisions that are arbitrary and capricious. This executive order requires them to take into account irrational factors, things that exactly fit that definition.
Supporters of Trump's executive order say it will clear away unnecessary regulations that hamper the growth of small businesses and cripple the economy. David Goldston with the Natural Resources Defense Council says the two-for-one requirement can't help but stymie the issuing of new regulations. He points to last year's update of the Toxic Substances Control Act, the first major revision in 40 years.
Why would finally catching up with chemicals that have been on the market for decades mean that we don't need a clean air regulation or a clean water regulation, or for that matter, a regulation for another chemical?
He says the executive order puts industry's concerns about the cost of complying with regulations ahead of the public's concerns about the problem that the regulation is trying to solve. Weissman says reports by the White House Office of Management and Budget consistently have found that the benefits of regulations are significant.
The most significant rules adopted had benefits that outweighed costs as much as 14 to 1. But if you look at the big rules, the benefits maybe are 10 times or more greater than the costs.
The lawsuit challenging the executive order was filed Wednesday morning in the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.